the sun. At its round they call, lift your voice, and hear our jubilee. Out of Zion fields our lakes and
drums.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Holy God, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, and hear our jubilee. Out of Zion till salvation
comes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're supposed to comfort one another with those words. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's start with the first verse.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to that promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be.
Oh, hallelujah. What a glorious day. Amen. Amen. As you remain standing, I'm going to read the Word of God, read our lesson today. And our lesson today is the strength of the Lord. Amen. We need that every day, don't we? Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, and with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Mighty God, I pray, Lord, that you will help me today. Lord, help me give this word, Lord, according to the way, Lord, that you put it down. And help me, Lord, to encourage. And Lord, and help us to reprove, Lord, as the word says, by thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We kind of have a smorgasbord of teachers and preachers around here. That is, I was talking to my son one day. I said, I don't know. I said, sometimes I think I get a little hard. He said, well, he said, we're just like a smorgasbord. He said, you got yours and he's got his, and as long as we're in the Word of God. But you know, the Bible teaches that this flesh has to be shattered, has to be broken. And I come up under a preacher there in Aurora. He shattered that flesh every service. Amen. So it was kind of natural for me. I expected when I come in, that was what I was going to get. And sometimes I felt like it wasn't what I needed, you know. And sometimes I felt like it was directed right at me. Matter of fact, I knew it was. But, you know, we have the Word of God, and we've got to put it down like the Bible tells us to. You know, sometimes we can drift off into the enemy's camp. Amen. If you remember David in 1 Samuel, I believe in chapter 29 and 30, amen, David, he was fleeing from Saul, and he went into the Philistines, and he made camp with the Philistines. And as it would be, the Philistines had decided they're going to make war with the other kings against Israel, against Saul. Well, David was in a pretty bad predicament there. I'm pretty sure he was praying all the way to the battlefield, Lord, help me get out of this. He didn't want to fight against Saul. I mean, sometimes, though, when we get into the enemy camps, we feel obligated to go with them. That way, if we get around into the things of this life too much, we feel more obligated to go further. I know that you can take a small crowd of people. You'd be talking about Jesus. You have five or six people. Pretty soon, everybody got somewhere to go. And, you know, we should be the same way with the world. When they start their foolish talk, their nasty talking and all that, that should make us uncomfortable too, because we are the other spirit. So that should make us uncomfortable. But David found himself into a place, amen, he took all of his men, all of his soldiers to go fight with the Philistines. And as it was, maybe because of his prayer or something, some of the kings didn't want him to go with them. They said, what if he returns to his master? See, you sometimes when you get on the fence, you know, this side don't want you and that side don't want you either, because you just don't quite fit in. So I just want to get on one side or the other. And, you know, so the Philistines, they were going out to make war, but they decided they didn't want David. So David goes back to his camp, but while he was away, another enemy come in and burned his camp, took all the women, all the children, and everything they had. When they come back, they had nothing but a burnout camp. Sometimes we go too far, drift too far out in the world, you know. When you look back, everything's burned up behind you. But anyway, When he got back, the members, they were ready to stone him. And David was, he was the best king that God had. But they were ready to stone him because he led them in that direction. So they were ready to stone him. But David knew. He knew where his God was. Amen. And David fell upon his face and he cried out to God. And God restored him all that he had. He said, go out and defeat him. He said, I'll restore everything that you had, lacking nothing. He restored everything that he had. And that's what I think about our Christian walk with God sometimes. And in this lesson today, it says, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, Ephesians 6 and 11. Well, sometimes I think about that, and you talk about how to put on the whole armor of God, the way the Bible speaks of. And it says that for good reasons. Amen. Because Satan is he's just all over the place, and he's seeking those whom he may devour. And he's doing that still today, more so today probably than ever. Amen. And see, the further we get away from God and closer to the world, amen, you can just look for things to happen. Now, I know one thing. When I was in the enemy camp, before I ever came to God, I had lost all my family. I had lost all my possessions. I lost everything. I had nobody left but me. I had drank myself to oblivion. I was a 7-year alcoholic after I got back from the service in Vietnam. I lost everything. I even stood up in my living room one time and shook my hand at God and said, how can there be a God and let me go through all this? Well, guess who was putting me through all this? And God was allowing it to happen because sometimes by trials and tribulations, amen, we correct our path, don't we? Amen. I just don't want none of those trials. I had those trials. I had those tribulations. And I had them after I got to God. I don't stand up here and say I'm perfect. You know I'm not. And if you don't know that, ask my wife. She knows all about me. No man is perfect. We all, but amen, we're on a road, amen, that we're trying, amen, to reach where God wants us to reach. But if I don't go on, I'm not going to finish this lesson today. Amen. But 2 Chronicles, this is what David did, and this is what we have to do. This world is in so much trouble. This is the only thing that's going to help this world. It's the only thing that's going to help the church. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Don't America need that today? The church is starting to need it too. Amen. We are in a lukewarm church age, but you know, I've learned, and like I say, I was under a pastor that he skinned your hide every service. Amen. But I don't think that was quite right either. And our pastor's gone, but we have a pastor that was here for 38 years. He's here. He can still skin my hide if I get out of the way. And I try to stay where God would have me to stay. You know, I don't want to, first off, I don't want to offend people by me. If the word offends you, you just have to deal with it. Amen. Because I can't change the word. I wouldn't if I could. But I'll just try to teach it the way he brought it to me. But in this putting on the whole armor of God, you have seven things. You have truth. You have righteousness. Gospel of peace. You have shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And praying. Now I can just say all of those things to you and it gets all scrambled up in your head. But you know, in the book of Ephesians, you need to read that book over and over and over. It'll bring you into God from where you started from. It'll take you all the way up to where verse 6 is, where it says, put on the whole armor of God. But it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Before I think I could say anything about what chapter 6 says, I think I need to go back to chapter 5. Now, we are to walk in love. I think it was Sister Fredrickson put something down and she said, now, don't nobody be coming back with something unlovely, you know. And that's good. But sometimes we put love in a different place than God puts it. Amen. The world don't know anything about love. Love, their love most of the time is lust and them getting their way. And if they know nothing about God, they know nothing about His love, how can they talk love, without explaining where God's coming from? All right. We're to walk in love. Let's go to Ephesians 5. And starting with verse 1, we're going to go through verse 11. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Verse 2, and walk ye in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Now he just says walk in love. Now, a lot of people want to underline that right there and not go any further. They just say, well, love. Well, stand up and tell me what love is. My parents, they love me. They tanned my hide every now and then, too. But they loved me, and I knew they loved me. And that's how you got to put out the Word of God. You got to say, put it out because you love them, because the next few chapters I read, you're going to understand a little bit about that. He says, verse 2, walk ye in love. And then verse 3, he says, but fornication and all uncleanness, means all forms of immorality, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Don't even let it be any part of your reputation. But folks, you start getting into this area and they say, where's your love? Well, I'm walking in it. That's what verse 2 said, walk ye in love. You walk ye in love. You walk in love when you expound the Word of God and you tell people what God wants you to do. Brother Peterman, he used to say when there's a house on fire and there's someone in there and he's just sitting in there, he said, would you go in there and calmly walk up to him and say, sir, would you please get up? The house is on fire. Oh, you don't want to? Well, okay, you don't have to. No, he said you'd grab them by the nape of their neck, and he said you would drag them out of the house if they wouldn't go. So that's the way God does sometimes, through trials and tribulation. You know what you want? You want to get woke up? If you're asleep, let somebody stick you with a pin. I know when I was in the Marine Corps, we got out of boot camp and we went to Memphis, Tennessee, and I was put on mess duty for a while before you go into your classes and stuff. And so we'd all hang out 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. You know how young guys are. I mean, we've been out of boot camp not too long, and we just loved all this freedom that we had. So, I mean, I would get up, because I knowed how them rascals was. I went through boot camp. I knew what they would do, and them other guys should have too. And so this sergeant that was in charge, he comes around there, and he goes to the back of the bunk. These guys on top of their bunks, and he just shoved the whole bunk over. And they go rolling across the floor. He woke them up. See, we can get so far back away from God that it might be pretty rough when He wakes you up. That's the way it was for me when I was out in the world. I was so far out in the world, and I was even blaming God. Amen. But God wasn't the fault. I was. See, we have this thing, and we can do what we want to do. But there's always repercussion, though. You can't do anything in this life without something else coming against it. It's just the way things are. All right, verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Jesting is making light of morality. That's what it is. That's what it's talking about. And filthiness and foolishness, I think we all know, which are not convenient, which is not suitable or fitting, but rather giving of thanks. See, we put on the whole armor of God. We put on truth. We put on faith. We put on righteousness. Amen. We take the word of God. And we take all of the things that God gives us, and that's how we overcome these things. We have the shield of faith, which darts all of these fiery darts that comes against us. Verse 5, for this you know, that no whoremongers, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater. How come I put covetous with idolater? You know, we covet things. We have to have things. And God understands that. But when we begin to put those things before God, we become an idolater. That's when you become an idolater, when those things take priority. And it's easy for that to happen. It's happened in my life, and I'm sure it has in yours. But I want to go back up to verse 4 for just a little bit. Neither filthiness, foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, what does he mean, giving of thanks? Well, I read a story once about a man, two Christian men, that they'd go golfing together, and sometimes they would take another man with them, a sinner man. And he said, this particular time, he said, this sinner man would hit the ball, and if it didn't do what he wanted, he would begin to ask God to damn that ball, you know, and to damn that golf course. And every time he'd say that, the Christian man said, well, bless God, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. So that man got a little aggravated. He said, why do you say that? He said, well, why do you say what you say? I don't know, it's just a habit. I don't mean anything by it. People, they're sinning blind and wretched and naked and don't know it. So he said, no, just a habit. He said, well, that's me, that's my habit. He said, what's inside me comes out. And, you know, what's inside him came out. So that's the thing. We have to live in this world, and sometimes we have to draw away from it. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. See, disobedience, if we want to be victorious in our everyday life and all those things, just give it to God. But when we become disobedient to the word of God, when we don't put on the full armor, the whole armor of God, then these things can creep in. It's the way Satan is. It's the way he does things, and we have to understand that. Verse 7, be ye not therefore partakers with them. Verse 8, for ye were sometime in darkness, but now are ye light in the word. Walk as children of light. You know, the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, it takes somebody humble those first two verses was easy. That was just you getting into God. But it takes a humble person to go ahead and walk on in further into God. But pride will keep you out of it. Pride, I believe, is the root of all sin. Because pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven. And pride will keep us from the word of God. Verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light, and the Lord walked as children of light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. You take righteousness and truth, you can't have one without the other. You can't be right with God unless you're in truth. Amen. So that's our righteousness. When we come to Jesus Christ, amen, we take on his righteousness. And if we don't take on him, we take on something else. It's not going to work. Because you have to be right with God before we can ever do anything in God. We first got to be where we are positioned in God. And our position in God is Jesus Christ. There's no other way, never will be. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, when you do these things, we've been accused of being hateful, and, you know, because you preach these things. We didn't say that. Paul did. He's hateful, not us. He's the one that said these things. I just read them. And if you know, that's the thing. That's the reason I said we got a smorgasbord here. If you don't like what I say, there's somebody coming up next you might like. But right now, I got to be Brother Kellum. You know, I got to be who I am, because if I try to be who you are, it don't work. I'll make a mess of things. So I got to be who I am. And being who I am, I'm getting behind. But we got to go on with the things of God. And that's reading. After these things were read in verse 5, we get to the last chapter. In verse 6, read Ephesians over and over. It's only six chapters long. And in Ephesians 6, he said, well, after we get chapter 5, once you read the book of Ephesians, and after you live for God for some time, you all know, you get frustrated. You do. You said, I just don't know if I can do this. Well, you know, when Brother Wells gave me this lesson, they brought up Artie Murphy, you know, and because he was a war hero and all this and that. And so I can bring up the military a little bit too. And so when I was in boot camp, I was just 17 years old, 120-pound cotton picker. You know, I didn't know anything about the world. I didn't come in there for all this stuff they was going to put on me. I come in there to get that uniform and go back home. That's what I wanted. I didn't come for no war. I didn't come for none of that. But when you get there, they push you down so hard they want to break you. They want to break you. They want to get all that civilian life out of you, and you become a new creature for the Marine Corps. I get about halfway through, I seen a lot of guys that already, you know, you just don't want to quit there, because they'll make you stay in boot camp for 6 months. So it's not something you want to quit, because they don't give up on you easily. You get to a place, you say, you know, I just can't do this anymore. I just don't think I can make it. Well, guess what? That's the place they wanted to get you to. And you know, that's where God wants to get us to. Just when you think you can't do it, well, let Him do it in you, the inner man. So that's what I did. I mean, just because I said I had enough, that didn't mean nothing to them. They pushed harder. When they think you're about ready to quit, they push harder. And then pretty soon you reach down and you get some strength that you didn't know you had. And that you are so disciplined. That's what makes the Marine Corps. It's not their super strength. It's their discipline. And that's what God wants. He wants His people to be disciplined to the Word of God. But let's go on. I got less than 15 minutes. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How? By being led by the Spirit. Strong in the Lord and the power of His might, you've got to have something in here. And that's what God gives us. But finally a way out that how do we, you know, do these things? And I showed you the things that God wants to do, how some of the things that He wants you to stay completely away from. But more than this, He don't want us to start drifting. See, that's what Satan does. He wants to get you drifting. And pretty soon, I mean, this is just a tiny way, but you keep drifting. I've said it many times when I was in the jungles in Vietnam. We depended on a compass and a map. We kept half to looking at signs and things that was obvious, because it'd be obvious on the map, to make sure that we were staying where we were supposed to be. Because if you got a good ways to go, if you get off 1 degree, pretty soon. But you look at the landmarks. Then we go into the Word of God. We find the Word of God, and that directs our path. It makes a light into our path. And it shows us the way to go. So that's what we would do, because you didn't want to get lost over there, especially if you're going to be overnight. Because you got to call back. They got to know exactly where you're at. I was a squad leader. I had 13 men. And they had to know exactly where I was at. I would call my coordinates in, and because they had spotters, and if by chance someone would light a cigarette or something, they seen that, oh no, ain't nobody supposed to be there. Boom, boom, boom. So you have to know where you're at. And that's what we got to do with God. We got to know where we're at. If you put blinders on, and you're just walking wherever you want to walk, not looking, seeing from either side, you don't know if you're getting off or not. But we have to check the Word of God. We have to look into it. Don't you take your mind, your own understanding, and go by that. If you do, you're going to get off. I can tell you that right now. You're going to get way off. Ephesians 1 and 13 said, in whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed unto the Holy Ghost of promise. I thank God that I'm sealed to the day of redemption. And I believe if you have that Holy Ghost dwelling within you, it's going to try to help you to go in through the direction that God would have you to go in. Ephesians 3 and 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Now that's what's going to lead you and guide you. That's the war that's going on within your members. Amen. Trying to get you to go in the right direction. Now I don't understand why God did things this way. I just know what he says. And am I following all of it? I'm trying. That's what I want to do. I want that to be my goal. The focus thought today was God promises the strength we need when we face difficult times. Strength to do what? To resist the devil. We've seen that. Oh, we think if we don't have bread, that's what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the spiritual man, the inner man. Ephesians 6 and 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles is a trick or stratagem practiced for ensnaring or deception, a sly, insidious artifice or deceiver. Insidious means proceeding in a gradual, subtle way, but with harmful effects. See, if God threw something, Satan threw something real big at you out there, you wouldn't swallow that. That's what he did with Eve. He just threw some little something out there, you know. And he just, I know when I was being brought up, we used to catch crows, and we'd put a little bit of seed till they get under the box, and we'd pull the stick out from under, and the box fall on top of them. That way we had a bunch of crows. What we're going to do with them, I don't know, but we caught them. But that was just kids, you know. 1 Peter 1 and 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is in be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus. Verse 14, and obedient children, not for fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Amen. We need to set our minds. Amen. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Rejoiceth not in the iniquity. That's your love chapter, charity. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. I'm going to skip a little bit here. I got 5 minutes. All right. Anyway. All right. It turned right side up here. Ephesians 6 and 16, above all, taking on the shield of faith with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, I put a focus thought in here. I said the second focus thought. That was my focus thought. And I got this from some commentaries that they're not apostolic, so don't think I'm throwing some more apostolic rocks at you. Focus thought. Christians today lack of transparent sincerity, and the absolute correspondence between inward fact and outward expression. Amen. Before when you can get the inward facts, but without humility, without humbling yourself, you can't accept those things. You just won't do it. It comes by a humble spirit. God humbles us. I'm not talking salvation here today, so don't think anybody think I'm telling you you're not saved. You know, I don't do that. But I tell you the Word of God, the same thing that I find in here that is telling me. But you know, it's not what we get in, it's what we won't let out. You say, well, how's that? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. We have this earthen vessel, amen, that needs to be shattered. You read in Gideon, what did he do? Amen, when he goes out to destroy the enemy, he had this light in earthen vessels, didn't he? Amen, there wasn't but just a few of them. And before that light could shine, you know what had to happen? They had to shatter that earthen vessel. Amen. And when they shattered that earthen vessel, amen, what happened? They defeated, that light shone out, and it just so disoriented the enemy, they began to strike out at each other. And God destroyed the enemy. But had they never shattered that vessel, nothing ever would have happened. James 4 and 6 says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. I want to, you know, we've kind of made ourselves God in this last day. You know, we send animals to heaven and people to hell. We do. Everybody's animals going to heaven. You know that. But I'll just read what's in here. Anyway. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Now, we can think too much of ourselves. I'm going to go back to Romans 12 and 3. Guys, I had to skip some. So, Romans 12 and 3 says, for I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We think a lot of this flesh. We want to make sure it gets everything it needs. But we can't leave the spiritual things undone. The Bible says he knows you have need of these things before you even ask. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things would be added unto you. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes 3:19, and I'm cutting it off here. For that befalleth the sons of man befalleth beast. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath. So that a man has no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. Now, it's talking about your flesh here. It's talking about the flesh man. It ain't talking about that inner man. I'll show you that. It says, all go into one place. All are of the dust, and all return to the dust again. But verse 21 is for man. What knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? And the spirit of the beast that goeth downward? He don't have that eternal life spec that we have. But I'm going to leave on just this note. Now, you know, you hear a lot of things about people, death, you know, near-death experiences, no kind of thing. Now, according to this, you go up. Now, I talked to my dad when he was on his deathbed, and he told me, he said, you know, he said, I find myself looking down at myself. He said, I see everything that's going on. And me and my brother, we came because we thought he was going to die. Well, he didn't. I told my brother on the way home, I said, we get back home, we're going to have to turn around and come back. And we got home, we turned around and come back. But my dad was not a man, he wouldn't say two words unless it was something he was really, really, really interested in. So So he wasn't full of bull, if you want to put it that way. So I knew when he said that, I knew he meant it, and I knew it happened. Even myself, I've had some things that happened that you cannot even explain. But God is real, and God has led us to salvation. We have repented, been baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But that's not the end of the story. That's our beginning story. Amen. But now it's a process. Our life is in a process of time here. Amen. And we grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. When you just got salvation, you say, well, I'm done. I'm sitting down. It's all been done. That's the same way the world kind of looks at it. Well, one of these days, I got to make it right with a man upstairs, you know. So they come down, they say a couple of words, and they get up there. Well, I'm done. No. How can you come except the Spirit of God draw you?
Yes.
Amen. Well, thank you for listening to me. I hope I didn't bore you too bad. But this time, I think we have about 12 minutes or so. We usually use it to pray while the children are coming up, and we're getting ready for our main service. So I thank God that you came today, and I hope I helped you, because my intentions are never, never to hurt you. Because I've seen that. I've seen where you can be too hard and people just won't come back. But don't listen to me. Listen to the Word.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Salvation, go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain stands by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ, that solid rock I stand. When I need shelter, when I need a prayer, I go to the rock. Go to the rock of my salvation. Go.